You're listening to the Catholic Vitamins podcast, hosted by Deacon Tom and his lovely wife, Dee.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
Well, Dee, you just look absolutely lovely today.
You look
well fed, too.
Well, I am well fed.
I
don't feel lovely, though. I feel like I've got something starting again, like in my glands.
Hey, this is a show. This is a show about vitamins. You don't get sick here. We take the right kind of vitamins.
I'm wondering if this is left over from our trip.
Could be. Speaking of our trip, we have one more segment left that we recorded while we were on our cruise, our Catholic Answers cruise. We have a little bit of Chris Check, who's the director of development for Catholic Answers. And he was talking about the early, near the end of the persecutions of the Christians at the beginning of the church. We'll get to that in a few moments. Dee, what's our show?
Our show is Catholic Vitamin U, usefulness.
Usefulness. I don't think anybody got that, did they?
Not ubiquitous, like David Macnack said.
I have
ubiquitous.
Our little...
Did I pronounce that right?
Ubiquitous?
I don't think that's the way I said it.
Oh, Dee.
I have such trouble with words, don't I?
The quality or fact of being useful. Dear, am I useful in your life?
Oh, you're very useful.
Taking you to lunch after masses. Well, what do you find useful in your faith walk? Mariana captured the theme of this. We're going to have her reflection on her missionary moment in a few moments as well. She captured what this is about. What do you find useful in your life?
She's pretty good at doing that.
Yeah, she is. She's a great reporter, journalist, and we'll look forward to bringing her up. What else do we have to chat about?
Well, you were just giving me grief within days.
Well, there's nothing new about that. What else do we have to talk about?
About how we've talked on a couple of the most recent podcasts about posting more of our trip pictures up on Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page, and I haven't done it.
Well, it was more like we've often made comments about things we were going to do, and we don't get around to doing
it. I know. The follow-up is bad. So last evening, I sat at the computer, and I posted a whole bunch of pictures.
If you are listening to this show and you are not a friend of Catholic Vitamins, why not? But go over to Friends of Catholic Vitamins and join, and you'll be able to see loads of pictures. I think I saw that you had Santorini. Beautiful.
I did Santorini, Greece. I did Mykonos, Greece. I did Istanbul.
Did you show the inside of the mosque?
I did.
Dear friends, I think we talked about this last time. Dee had to cover her head with a scarf. We all had to take our shoes off. And when you walk into a mosque, it is a large open area, carpeted. And there were some men at prayer out front in the...
Not many. They had been. There would have been lots there in the morning, but we were there in the afternoon. We actually wouldn't have been able to get in the morning.
When somebody asked, why, if you were on a pilgrimage, were you in a mosque? And the answer is, well, we can do things on a pilgrimage, like go to St. Peter's Basilica, and we can still do sightseeing. So that's
and also, as I told her, this was part of a local tour group that they had contracted with. And so it was a local tour group that took us out that day. And this going through the mosque, I think, is just part of their normal tour.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with seeing it. It was
interesting to see. But as I said in response to this person who asked that question, I came walking out of that mosque with a very empty feeling.
Mm-hmm. Where are the statues? of Jesus and Mary and Saint Joseph the little flower.
It just,
I know.
Just a very warm feeling in there.
All right. So you put up a bunch of pictures. Thank you for doing that. That's follow up to comments of a couple shows.
And did I tell you while I was doing that? I no sooner got the first set up, and all of a sudden in the lower left hand corner of my screen comes up, Peggy likes this, Peggy likes this, Peggy likes this.
Oh, our friend Peggy.
Our friend Peggy was looking at them.
Oh.
And she was liking every one of them.
Well, good. Glad to have you along, Peggy. I know that you regularly listen to the show and comment on things that we do. What else do we have, Dee?
Well, we also, I don't think we talked about this last week because we would have done this after we recorded last week, but we had our Faith Travelers on Monday night, and we did a slideshow of pictures for our Faith Travelers group. Jim and Candy did some, we did some.
Smilingly, we could say we took 500 slides and put everybody to sleep. But actually, we didn't do that many. We took about 10 or 15 from three locations.
It was probably hard to choose pictures to post because I took like 650 on my phone.
Yeah, right.
You had about 400 or 500 on your phone. Candy probably had more than that on her phone. She did a lot of video recording.
We said that we don't have much else to post from our travels, but I think I'm going to try to get the two videos that Candy captured, the one at the ordination of deacons in St. Peter's Basilica, she has that edited. And what was the other video that she had? Do you remember, Dee?
Oh, Father Eric.
Oh, yes. Up at the Areopagus, where he did the talk that St. Paul did.
Yeah. That was so great. And I wasn't there that day, so I'm so glad that Candy recorded that so I get to see it.
I am hopeful. I'm just going to sort of give a little bit of heads up that I'm in the process of trying to reach Father Eric Gilbaugh and have him come on Catholic Vitamins. He seems like a wonderful priest, and I think our listeners would enjoy meeting him or podcast meeting him or something.
I remember one day, I forget where we were, but one day I was telling somebody that later in the day, I said, well, Father Eric is our problem child today, because every time we would go to be boarding the bus to head out someplace, nobody could find him.
Yeah, he was off. And when you're with a large group, you don't do that.
And we'd be doing a count. They always kept a count to make sure we had everybody back on the bus, and we'd be like one short. Oh, Father Eric's not here.
We'll have to tease him about that if we get him on the show. But he's a wonderful priest, and he said Mass for us a few times, and it was really great to be with him. Speaking of our cruise, as we said, we have a few moments of the Director of Development, Chris Check, who was leading one of the sessions that we had, one of the talks. And this is him talking about the late hours of the persecution of Christians.
Not so much understand the Romans as thugs, right, who picked on Christians, though there's some of that. Really, the way we need to understand ancient Rome is Rome took things as far as they could go without revelation. That is a better, I think, more accurate understanding of Rome. So we'll start with a story. 40 legionaries are serving on the Armenian frontier, and they refuse an imperial edict to burn incense before idols of the ancient Roman gods. These men are Christians. The Augustus in the West, a young man whose name is Constantine, recently declared their religion legal, but Constantine's authority does not command the whole of the Roman Empire. His counterpart in the East, a man named Licinius, is resentful of Constantine's growing power and also of Constantine's growing interest in Christianity. And Licinius has undertaken one last persecution. He is ignoring the lessons that have been learned by emperors, governors, and prefects of Rome's past three centuries. Persecution is only increasing the resolve and the numbers of this troublesome sect. He is ignoring the words of Tertullian, right? The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith. The local magistrate warns these soldiers of the disgrace that will befall them and their families if they do not offer sacrifice. He offers promotion to any of them who will. yet no threat or bribe will induce them to forsake Jesus Christ.
Oops, I goofed.
What's that?
I announced our vitamin. I forgot to announce our guest.
Oh, D.
And she's famous.
I know she is.
On EWTN, Jeanette Benkovic. And I traveled to Phoenix, 2 weeks ago to hear her speak at Mount Claret Retreat Center.
Well, she's a wonderful lady. She was so gracious when I made outreach and worked with the person that handles her scheduling.
Her daughter.
Yes, yes. And they were so kind. And when I was pre-briefing Jeanette a little bit, Jeanette is the best way to say that, when I was pre-briefing her about Catholic vitamins, she thought it was so cute, but so sparkly, you know, and just so she was acting as if she was really glad to be on the show, and she was very warm to us. So we thank her for that.
I actually have a picture that I had taken of she and I. Maybe we can use that.
Why don't we use that for the show?
Okay.
All right, we'll do that. Any other words? Oh, I wanted to say something, Dee. About music. I'm going to try to, excuse my voice, I'm going to try to feature some of the artists whom we have had on Catholic Vitamins. And one of them is Renee Bondi. She's been actually on their show twice. And we're going to feature at least two of her songs from her album Mercies in Disguise. And the first song we're going to do is Amazing Grace.
Beautiful.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, have been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing.
Beautiful voice of Renee Bondi. She, as you may know, if you have been a longtime listener to Catholic Vitamins, or if you have heard Renee speak in some event, she is a quadriplegic who has brought a message of hope and endurance and faith to audiences everywhere around the world. I've been on her website, and she was at Holy Trinity Catholic Church in California, I think, within days. She is going to the beautiful major Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California soon. Get your tickets to that. That would be awesome. And she's a very inspiring woman, someone that we've come to care for and support. Thank you, Renee Bondi, for coming on Catholic Vitamins. Another person that we care for greatly is Mariana Bartholomew, and here she is with her missionary moment.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. If you could choose two useful books for helping you keep a firm footing in the faith, two books to add to your bookshelf next to your Bible, what would they be? Back in my 20s, writing for Catholic Extension magazine, I would sometimes complain that finding solid, non-contradictory answers to help explain certain matters of faith required Sherlock Holmes on the case. We didn't have the internet, and we didn't have the current catechism of the Catholic Church. So it was fantastic when the church released the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 1994. Today it's a book our faithful youth have grown up with, but the Catechism is ever fresh because it's inexhaustible. Delving into the wide range of topics covered in the Catechism and following the threads of scripture citations listed in footnotes could occupy one for a lifetime. Just on the concept of the virginity of Mary, footnotes lead the reader to scripture citations in Isaiah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Corinthians, and Galatians. Other references cite St. Justin, Origen, and St. Ignatius of Antioch. So anyone with questions about the virginity of Mary would be kept busy going to these different citations and reading more. Any non-Catholic who complains that Catholic doctrine is not scriptural probably hasn't spent significant time with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. If you don't own one, you can go online and buy a used version listed in very good condition for one penny, plus $3.99 in shipping. And then, of course, there's the online version. But just like every home should have a good fat dictionary, yes, even in these technological times, every Catholic home should have a Catechism of the Catholic Church. So after putting your catechism in a handy place next to your Bible, what other book would you choose to help enrich your faith? How about a nice thick concordance? A concordance lists certain words and then every reference in Scripture in which these words are found. What practical use can this have? Well, some years back, I was praying for more prudence in speech. I wanted the Holy Spirit to guard my tongue. So to focus on this intention in prayer, I did a concordance search on the word tongue. My concordance directed me to more than 150 mentions of tongue in Scripture. Out came my prayer journal. I started at the top of the list, and in my morning prayer sessions for days, wrote in my prayer journal and reflected on these scriptural usages of the word tongue, thanking God for directing my speech. I learned about the dangers of the lying, seductive, or proud tongues, about people who sharpened their tongues like swords and shot bitter words like arrows. My favorite scriptural reference is in James 3, likening the tongue to the rudder of a ship, a small member that directs the whole vessel. When asthma was bothersome in 2007, I did a concordance search on the word breath and spent days reflecting on God's usage of breath in Scripture. I now have 20 pages of reflections about breath for future when I need a little fresh air. The scripture reflections are as simple as the prayer of thanksgiving I wrote about Genesis 2. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and so man became a living being. And I wrote, "Thank you and praise you, Lord, for the breath of life." Searching a concordance, writing reflections and prayers of praise can keep us positive amidst struggle. Now, some people feel bookshelves are obsolete and everything can be done online, but there's something to be said for hand jotting little notes in the margins of our precious spiritual books to reflect on years later. So up on a good old-fashioned shelf next to the Catechism of the Catholic Church will go my concordance. But both of these books rely on the primary, most useful resource of all time in living the Catholic life, a Catholic Bible. So that goes on my shelf first. One of the great programs run by Home Mission Catholic Extension Society was sending Bibles out to people in remote, scattered areas of our nation. Those who couldn't afford to purchase Bibles were so thrilled to receive one as a gift and to finally have one as a centerpiece of prayer in their homes. After successive cyclones struck India last year and friends in the U.S. sent funds to provide rice, lentils, and safe water, I asked missionary friend Father Verghese what people needed in this critical situation. I had been carrying this image of Bibles in my head for 2 days, but kept putting it aside, thinking that in a crisis situation, more funds for basic necessities should be foremost. But Father Verghese surprised me by saying, "Bibles, the people are depressed." Many had lost their Bibles to floodwaters, so needed them replaced as they rebuilt their homes. By a miracle, Father Verghese found a supply of 300 Catholic Telugu language Bibles that he could buy in his archdiocese for just $1 a Bible. So friends here in the U.S. sent the funds, and Father Verghese and his friend Father Bhaskar from a jungle mission raced a cyclone to get those Bibles home to the people. So praise God for his useful, uplifting, powerful gift of Scripture that's our double-edged sword cutting through to the bone of what matters most in life, our journey to heaven. And thank God for the Catechism of the Catholic Church, a great gift of the 20th century, and for concordances. These can help keep us solid, feet on the ground, rooted to truth as we reflect and pray with God's Word daily.
Well, as we have joyously announced at the beginning of the show, our guest for today's show is Jeanette Bankovic. And I did a little bit of research to get ready. And if we spent time just talking about the things that Jeanette has been involved in, we would consume half of our interview time. But we'll just say a few words. You may know Jeanette from her time with EWTN and the Abundant Life program, and you may know her for her radio program, Women of Grace Live, which is a daily program. I just don't know how she multiplexes all of her time, and she's involved in the Women of Grace movement, if you will, the apostolate throughout the country. And just recently, my dear wife Dee was blessed to go down with another woman from our parish and listen to Jeanette. She described Jeanette as being joyous, happy, spirited, moving around the stage, and with a sense of humor. So Jeanette, all of that is a way of saying welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Well, Deacon Tom, thank you so much for the invitation, and it is a joy, privilege, pleasure to be with you and to be with all of your listeners today. So I'm grateful for this opportunity.
All right, so let's get started. I know you do this all the time, but we're joyous to introduce you to some of our listeners who may not know of you or know all of the details about you. Tell us about your youth.
Well, I always like to begin with the fact that I was very blessed because I was born into a Catholic family, and I was educated at 12 years in elementary school, or 12 years Catholic education, elementary school, by the Vincentian Sisters of Charity. And my high school years, I was schooled by the Dominican Sisters. I graduated from high school in 1968, and I headed off to the Pennsylvania State University. And I have to share with you, Deacon Tom, that some of those years at Penn State were dark moments in my life. I fell away from the faith during those years. I think that you might remember, and some of your listeners might also remember, that they were turbulent years on our college campuses, those late 60s and early 70s. And it seemed as though the zeitgeist of the age was filling our minds and our heads and our hearts with messages that were very much contradictory to the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. As much as I would like to say I was able to hold firm and be well anchored in the beautiful catechesis I had received through the educational experiences with these religious sisters for 12 years, that wouldn't be the case. I'd have to go to the sacrament of reconciliation because the reality is very different than that. I got swept up in everything that was going on in college campus life at that time. And as a result of that, I fell away from the faith and remained outside of the faith for about 10 years and came back to Holy Mother Church through the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in my own parish. I had begun to go back to Mass a little bit before that, but wasn't very exuberant about a life of faith until I had this deeper understanding of God's profound love for me specifically and individually as a human person created in His image and likeness. And from that moment forward, since 1981, I've dedicated myself to the proclamation of the gospel message in whatever venue the Lord makes available to me. And I hope to continue to do that for the rest of my life.
Amen. Amen. Praise God for your reversion. And I might just, as a sidebar, Jeanette, say to you that in our parish, we have a group of us who are pretty active. We call ourselves the Faith Travelers. And one of the things that we did was to bring your book, The New Age Counterfeit, into our book study effort. And we went through this with just a heightened sense of awareness of all of the dangers that our faith is confronted with. And it sounds as if when you went to college that you ran into whatever it was, you know, modernism or Gnosticism or the New World Order, whatever it was that started to distract you from the faith. Your book, The New Age Counterfeit, was a great help for us to know some of the dangers, or many of the dangers for us, and how to combat them in our thinking.
Well, you know, thank you so much, Deacon, for sharing that with me. You know, when I was at Penn State, I guess the prevailing spirit of the age that got into my head and heart was the spirit of relativism.
Mm-hmm.
And I dabbled a wee bit in those kinds of things that are outlined in the New Age counterfeit, but not to any great degree. That book came out of an experience that I had at EWTN. I was up there, and this was very much in the early days of my affiliation with the network back in 1988. I had been invited by Mother Angelica to use their edit facilities to edit 8 hours of film that I had gotten at a reported apparition site. And so I was up there working on that, and a live show guest for Mother Angelica Live the week that I was there was a woman by the name of Constance Cumby. And I was not able to go to the live show because I was busy working. But when Constance came back to the guest house that we were sharing, I asked her what the topic was. And she told me it was on the New Age. And then we spent until probably 2 in the morning talking about that. And she really educating me about this syncretistic worldview that was making such headway into our culture. And I was chilled by it, and I have to say, no small measure of frightened by it. When I went back to Florida, came home here, I met with my spiritual director and mentioned this encounter, and was told by my spiritual director that I needed to do research on this. So what came out of that research was a 13-week television series for EWTN, and the book followed on the heels of that, because the number of phone calls and inquiries that we received as a result of that television series let us know that many, many people were very confused about who Jesus is, who God is, who we are, and what our problem is. And I have to tell you, we have maintained a very sizable presence with regard to revealing the deceptions of the New Age since that time, and probably have the largest question-answer blog on the New Age that is available in the Catholic world. Our New Age blog is one of the most popular places on our website, and we have literally, well over 800 questions and well-researched answers there that people send in to us. So for anyone who has questions in this area, I would recommend they go out to womenofgrace.com and go to the New Age blog. There's a search feature there. They can look up anything that they need. It thrills me to know that you found it to be beneficial for you and for the faith travelers there in your church.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's assume that there are a few people. Dee and I just had an email, I think it was yesterday, from a listener in Abu Dhabi, and we just never know who we reach or where they are. Let's start by asking you about your work on the Abundant Life. What do you do there, and what invitation would you extend to our listeners about your program?
Well, sure, thank you. I have been blessed to be working with EWTN since 1988, and when I was up there on that particular trip that I just outlined for you, Mother Angelica invited me to send in a proposal for a television program, and I did that, and she was gracious enough to let us produce a 13-week series on the role of the laity in the church today. Then we did one called Signpost for Our Time, taking the messages from the reported apparition in Medjugorje and applying them to our walk of faith. Then we did the 13-week series on the New Age. And then I was asked by EWTN to provide them with a consecutive series. And that series became The Abundant Life. And The Abundant Life was an hour-long television program that was broadcast or premiered with a fresh program each week. And that program was repeated 3 additional times, and we covered a wide variety of topics that were of importance to living our Catholic faith in the world today. In 2010, the network offered me the opportunity to be on the air every day. They were looking for a half an hour show, and they wanted it to be of service to women. And so we retired the Abundant Life in 2010 after having been on for 17 years, such an amazing period of time. And we've been producing Women of Grace, which airs Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern and repeats at 11:30 p.m. And we stick to the premise of the Abundant Life in that we continue to discuss a wide variety of issues through the lens of our Catholic faith. And as I always say, Deacon Tom, real men watch and listen to Women of Grace, because we have as many male viewers and listeners as we do women. And our radio program, Women of Grace Live, is heard on EWTN affiliates and through Sirius XM Station 130, Monday through Friday as well. So we have a fairly sizable presence there through television and radio.
All right. Well, tell us about Women of Grace as a program in the country. And I'll start by saying that we became aware of your work when we had Dawn Marie Roeder from Phoenix on our show some time ago, and became aware of Women of Grace. And we've tried to help promote the effort since then. But if it's new to any of our listeners, please give us a start on what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. You know, this was the most amazing thing that I experienced in apostolic life. And we never really intended, or at least let me put it this way, I never really intended to be so involved with an outreach to women. It was never anything that was in my mind, in my heart. But somewhere around 1998, I began to be asked to speak at a lot of different Catholic women's retreats and days of recollection. And I think that came from, the invitations came as a result of two things. One, because I was a Catholic woman on television and radio, but also because I had written a book called Full of Grace, Women in the Abundant Life. And as a result of those two realities, the book and my presence in Catholic communications, I was being asked to present at these various days of recollection, et cetera. And I began to notice, Deacon, an interesting thing, and it was that the majority of these women that were coming to these events were deeply interested in their faith. They seemed to have everything that the culture of the day said a woman should want to have, i.e., careers, professions, families, success. And yet they were profoundly unhappy and very confused about their faith and very confused about who they were. And this perplexed me, because here they were. And so why, if you are practicing your faith and you seem to have everything the world says that you should have, why this deep unhappiness? I knew of the unhappiness because they would often come up and ask me to pray with them. And I also knew they were confused about their faith because of some of the things they were praying for, and some of the troubles that they were experiencing. And so, I took this to prayer, and I realized that I needed to know more about what the Church teaches with regard to the feminine person. And this began an endeavor of study for me, and I dug deeply into everything that I could find that the Church had written about women, and I was being more and more thrilled and more confirmed in my identity as a daughter of the Most High God as I pursued this research. And so it was well into this that I began to sense the Lord saying to me to do something more for women. So I did. I wrote another book for women and figured, okay, so that's it. I'm finished now. But no, the Lord, the sound of heaven, he kept after me. And finally, I determined somewhere around 2003 that he was asking us to hold a conference for women. We didn't have any money to do that, so I figured the best thing to do was to apply for a grant. And when I was filling out the grant application, Deacon Tom, this vision for women came into my mind. It's the only thing I can think of. And God, being so practical, gave me an image interiorly of a funnel, like we use in the kitchen. And I said to the Lord, what is this funnel that is in my mind? Why a funnel? And he kind of showed me that the large end of the funnel would be the conference, and the neck of the funnel would be a curriculum that women would take, and then they would spill out from there into the world and begin a process of transformation in the culture of the day. And I was on fire. I was just lit up like a Christmas tree. And we held that first conference. Even before the conference happened, I was already developing the curriculum with a group of ladies. And so this curriculum developed, and we rolled that out in 2005. There were a couple of personal tragedies that I experienced from the time of the first conference until 2005. And in 2005, we rolled that curriculum out at a conference in Chicago. And since that time, we've had well over 30,000 women that have come through the Women of Grace Foundational Study in the United States, in Canada, in Ireland, in England, we know on military installations, South Africa, Australia, Gibraltar, now entering into Spain. And we are amazed at what God is doing in the hearts of his daughters. We're working on follow-up studies to this first one now, but it's been an amazing, amazing experience of God's bounty and what happens when we give our fiat, our yes to him, and let him work in us and through us.
What an exciting story of God working with an open heart and an open mind. If we offer that to him, how does Women of Grace unfold at say, the parish level?
Well, thank you for asking that question, too. And let me begin by saying what the mission is. The mission really is what God showed me with that funnel. I mean, isn't he funny? This God of ours, I mean, he uses everything, even kitchen implements and equipment to make his will manifest, you know. But what the Women of Grace seeks to do is to transform the world one woman at a time through a spiritual formation program that helps women to see who they are as daughters of the Most High God and to be affirmed in their dignity and vocation of authentic femininity. So it's a pretty big mission, but we have been amazed to see how this has worked in parishes. And we didn't start off with parishes. We started off with individual women who became excited by the concept and took it to their parish priests and asked if they could do it in their parish. And since that time, Deacon Tom, since, you know, 2005, when the study rolled out, we have had so many priests tell us that the study has actually renewed their parishes and renewed the fervency of sacramental reception in their parishes and has ignited a holy fire in their parishes. We are now finding that many bishops are inviting us into their dioceses to get this started in the parishes in their dioceses. And so on a parish level, what is required really is the yes of the pastor and a woman who is willing to facilitate a group. We walk the woman through everything that she needs to do. She obtains, either through the parish or personally, our facilitator kit that contains DVD teachings that I do the teachings. It includes also the study book that every woman who will take the study acquires, as well as my book, Full of Grace, Women in the Abundant Life, which is the backbone of the study. In addition to that, she receives a facilitator guide that walks her through everything, including just about, but not quite, telling her when to put the coffee on for the ladies, you know. It's that detailed. Uh-huh. And I had been a school teacher, so I knew how to develop a manual that would be useful for the women. And I was also an insurance agent, so I knew how to meet every objection, you know. So I thought of every objection a woman could come up with on why she couldn't do the study, and I resolved it for her in that facilitator guide. It also has a CD in the kit of our Women of Grace theme song. And we tell the ladies how it is that they can promote this on the parish level so that they get women who sign up And we encourage them through giving them guidance with regard to each of the lessons that the women will take. Everything has the imprimatur. The study book has the imprimatur. My book has the imprimatur. The DVDs have an imprimatur. You know, the facilitator guide has an imprimatur. Everything is imprimatur so that individuals, priests, bishops can be assured of the fact that there is nothing against faith and morals that will be discussed in the study. And it's just been amazing to watch what's happened in the lives of women that have taken the study, the letters that we receive, the transformation that's gone on within their family life, within their marriages, within relationships, within their own hearts, areas of healing that have happened. We could just write book after book of testimonies on it. I'm thrilled. God loves us so much, Deacon Tom. He wants to deliver us from the misery of our lives, you know? And he wants to take all of the debris of our life, and he wants to infuse it with his divine love and make it be blessing to us. And Women of Grace helps ladies to experience precisely that.
Dee described you as a joyous woman to listen to, and I'm just sitting here just soaking in the radiance that you're sharing with our listeners. One of the books that I see credited is Living Life Abundantly, Stories of People Who Have Encountered God. That sounds like a byproduct, or at least some of the work of Women of Grace. I don't know when you wrote this, whether it was ahead of that time frame or after, but I just love the fact that people are waiting to discover a new relationship with the Lord, like with Women of Grace.
It's beautiful. So that particular book is the fruit of many of the interviews that I've conducted through the years. And at the time when I was asked to write that book, I incorporated into that book testimonials of individuals who came to a relationship with our Lord in some of the most difficult of circumstances, and it's a book of hope for people. But you've given me a really good idea here, Deacon. I'm thinking that maybe it's time for a testimonial book for Women of Grace that does exactly what you're suggesting, that shares with people the way in which God wants to imbue our lives with his own nature. And this is the thing I think that people need to hear today, because we have so many challenges facing us. And I'm sure that there's not a person listening to us today who has not been offered a cross, big or small, by God. And, you know, here's the deal. This God of ours wants for us to experience every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Mm-hmm. And he's created us at this moment in the history of man, because he knows we're precisely the people who will be the best equipped to make his face present. And he wants to be present in us and present through us. And he wants to heal the wounds of our heart. He wants to set us free from the bondage and captivity that either circumstances brought upon us or that we have brought upon ourselves. And he wants for us to know without a shadow of a doubt that he loves us unto death, and that he's got a plan for us. One of my favorite passages from Scripture is Jeremiah 29:11. And through the mouth of the prophet, Father God speaks, and he says, "I know well the plans I have in mind for you, plans for your welfare, not your woe, plans for a future full of hope." People need hope. They want hope. They're looking for hope, and hope is here. Hope is here because hope has a name. And his name is Jesus Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he just wants to fill us to overflowing with his abundant blessings. All we need to do is say yes to him. Mm. So I think you've given me a really good idea here.
All right. Well, thank you for that. I have two things. Let's do something that is a little bit of a sidebar. I was told by Dee that you lost your husband some while ago, and part of the message that you're sharing with so many other women, you had to find a usefulness in that for coping with the illness and loss of your husband. Do you want to say anything about that period of your life?
Yes, I'd be happy to share, because, you know, I'll tell you, I don't think that there's anything more devastating in this world than losing a loved one. Mm-hmm. And when we love deeply, we would just as soon suffer their travail and their tribulation ourselves. We would rather take all of that into our own bodies, that they might be spared the difficulty and the affliction. But my husband's death occurred in 2007, and it came 3 years after we suffered the loss of our son, Simon. Our son, Simon, was killed in a vehicular accident when he was 25 years old and recently returned from Iraq. And he had been a soldier, a good soldier. He came home to us shortly after that very first Women of Grace conference. As a matter of fact, the weekend of that conference, unbeknownst to my husband and myself, he was flying home from Iraq. So that was October of 2003. He spent 3 additional months in Fort Carson, Colorado, and came to us, home to us on December 24th, Christmas Eve of 2003. We never could have imagined that a short 3 months later, almost to the day, on March 20th, 2004, that he would be gone from us in this life. That was the most difficult moment I have ever lived through. And yet I have to tell you, Deacon, and I say this with the utmost of sincerity of heart, it was such a spiritually fruitful time.
Oh, wow.
Because I determined that if God, who loved my son unto death, took him at that moment, then this God, who loves him infinitely, knew that it was the best time for him to be taken from this life. And I knew something else. I knew that at this moment for Simon was the moment, the most favorable moment for him to experience eternal salvation, then this God, who never works on behalf of the one, but always on behalf of all of us, knew that this particular cross, losing a son, was absolutely essential for my salvation as well. And so I determined that I was not going to let this cross passed me by without exploring it to the full and trying to mine the treasury of grace that was present in it. And that's how I approached Si's death. Now, I want to tell you, God in his goodness, I think, permitted me to enter deeply into the reality of that cross emotionally, psychologically, even in some ways physically, but the treasure of grace that I found there is nothing short of, words can't even describe it. I mean, it was just remarkable and so undeserved by me. It was 51 weeks later to the day on the baptismal day of our first grandchild that my husband suffered a grand mal seizure in our home. We were just taking deep breaths after Simon's loss. It wasn't quite a year. It was 51 weeks. We were just beginning to come through that first difficult year. And Anthony had a grand mal seizure, and it led to a diagnosis of glioblastoma multiforme 4, the most deadly and aggressive of brain cancers. And it was a death sentence. We knew that without a first-class miracle, he was going to go. But I'll tell you, Deacon, that when we received the news that this tumor was what it was, my husband looked at me and he said, you know, Johnette, he said, we can do this. He said, we can do this because we have seen in this past year that God's grace is sufficient. And so we faced those 25 months of life that he had from that vision. And again, I have to say that our God did not disappoint, and he was there every step of the way. It's been a dramatic change for me. Anthony and I were married for almost 33 years. I would say now, you know, at this point in time, him having been gone since 2007, I've come to see that widowhood can be a very holy path if we embrace it and if we look for the will of the Father in every change that new state in life presents. And so, you know, just a word to anyone who is suffering today because you've lost a loved one or you received news that you know, there is an illness that may not work favorably for a happy and healthy outcome. Don't deny the great reality that God wants to give you blessings in the midst of this, that there's no other way that you could have received. And these blessings are some of the sweetest and most profound, because he never abandons us, nor does he leave us orphaned. But he gives us everything that we need to experience the fullness that he has for us in the midst of the trial.
I'm so, it's such a blessing to hear you sharing this the way that you have. We are close with some of our listeners, and we know that two of them have MS and are frightened by, you know, the likely course of the MS, and someone else is struggling with some family issues and health. So it's so important, and it's such a joy, in a sense, to hear God using you as a vehicle to inspire courage and hope for these people that I'm thinking about. Let's move, as we head towards a close in our time together, let's move to your recent trip to Phoenix. I know you're traveling a lot. I don't know how you do it all, really, Jeanette.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Through the grace of God, if I stop to figure it out, I think I'll collapse.
All right. So you don't know my wife, Dee, but you did get to meet her. She got your book. By the way, let's give the title of your book that she bought there. I'm sorry, I don't have it here at hand. I'm sure you had several, but you autographed her book. And Dee,
probably Full of Women in the Abundant Life.
Yes, that's it. Dee came back and just spoke of your joy and how much you radiated a great message for those in attendance. How was Phoenix for you?
Oh my goodness, Phoenix was wonderful, Deacon. I so enjoyed it, and the gathering of women was just a beautiful, beautiful experience. I told them that, you know, I had the best view in the house because I was standing in front of them and I could see all of these beautiful daughters of the Most High God. And, you know, every once in a while, God is so good because he lets us see things through his gaze. And I've got to tell you, these ladies were beautiful inside and outside. And it made me so delighted to be with them. Phoenix was great. We were well received there. Your Bishop Olmsted came to the day and he gave us a blessing. He delivered a short talk and he gave us a blessing. And I had subsequently the opportunity to have dinner with the bishop, and he is very excited about Women of Grace. He's so happy that it's in his diocese, and he wants to do everything he can to help to promote it. And so this is good because it showed me the beautiful fatherly heart of Bishop Olmsted in wanting to provide his spiritual daughters, with something that would be of value to them and would encourage them in the way in which they should go. I was delighted to be there. We were at the Mount Claret Retreat Center, beautiful place. One of the exciting developments that came out of the time there in Phoenix is the fact that there was a follow-up facilitator training day for women who were interested in becoming facilitators of Women of Grace in their parishes. And so we anticipate that we're going to be seeing Women of Grace in the parishes, in the Diocese of Phoenix, very, very soon. So I want to encourage everybody to look for that, and for all of you women that are listening, to be sure to sign up, because I can honestly tell you that God wants to do great things in you and through you, and you won't be disappointed. We're just delighted that so many women responded to this call to be a facilitator of Women of Grace there. So it was a beautiful time, Deacon. I can certainly tell you that. I'm looking forward to coming back, as a matter of fact.
Well, we'll keep it warmer than the East. How's that? I know you're in Florida, but we'll keep it warmer than the East.
You'll keep it drier, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Jeanette Bankovic, all we can do is say you are definitely a woman of grace, and it is a joy to welcome you to our program and to share the message that you're sharing with our listeners. Thank you for taking the time to come on Catholic Vitamins, and we'll continue to try to support Women of Grace.
Well, thank you, Deacon, and thank you for the opportunity, and please give my very best regards and my love to your wife, Dee, and may God continue to bless you and your ministry to his people. I thank you for your vocation and for your yes to him.
Thank you, Jeanette. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye now.
Back, dear.
I got in here just as you finished the interview with her that day.
Actually, before we turned on our time together, she said, "Is Dee going to be joining us?" And I said, "Well, she's down the hall. She's working on something. I don't know if she'll be here." She said, "Okay." But yes, she was anxious for you to be here.
So actually, I came over to the door and I listened, and I could tell you were just finishing and I didn't want to make noise. So I waited until I knew you had stop the recording, and then I came in, and so I got to say hi to her.
Sure. Here's some feedback. Hello, Deacon Tom and the incredible, listen to this, the incredible Dee. My goodness. Your clue had me stumped until I realized that I could add N-E-S-S to unique, which was one of the few U words I could think of at this time. I've come up with uniqueness.
That's good.
Nice guess,
that's
huh?
Good, yeah.
I've mentioned you and your podcast to several people. I showed my father the book, St. John Paul the Great, His Five Loves by Jason Everett. Thank you again for the book. And he, speaking of her dad, will also read it. Many wonderful podcasts have great content, but yours also has incentive to stay current with your Vita Scrabble and other giveaways. How nice of you to say that, really.
Well, of course she's going to say that. She's gotten a lot of things.
If you recall, I sent you a prayer request for my uncle, who died right before your journey, and his family. Pray for his family. I mentioned to my cousin at the viewing and rosary about how you were bringing the request to St. John Paul II's grave, and he was very moved and grateful. Thank you. Go with God. Signed, Holly, who's from California. Thank you very much, Holly. That's very tender. Makes
me
tender.
And we did take those prayer intentions with us. We also heard from Dawn in Virginia. Thank you so much, Deacon Tom. The attached files are perfect. I think he requested your Ephesus homilies.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We had some requests for the Ephesus homilies. I sent three of them to him.
As for me, my travels continue. I'm at present in Monterey, California, working on a project for the U.S. Navy. It's a rather civilized work location.
Yes, it is.
Smile.
You remember that?
Yeah. Yes.
Gosh.
We liked it.
Yeah.
Last Saturday, the 1st of November, I was able to visit St. Paul of the Shipwreck Parish in San Francisco. The parish celebrated Holy Mass for All Saints Day, along with the veneration of the relics of St. Anthony of Padua, a most blessed experience. Thank you for all your work and prayers. Blessings, Dawn.
Well, thank you very much for that email or that feedback, dear. What else do we have to do before we wrap up on the show?
Well, we have a new friend on our Catholic Vitamin.
No, let's keep going.
Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page has a new member.
Okay.
Carol GT.
Is she the one with the car, the fast car?
Well, that's what you think. I don't know any more about her.
Welcome, Carol.
Except welcome.
All right. And you have any other business for us to wrap up? We're going to close with Renee Bondi's lovely piece, Blessings. I've loved this from the first moment I heard it, so I'm anxious to do that.
I'm ready to wrap up with Vita Scrabble. We don't have any winners for last time.
All right.
For this time. We don't have any U, vitamin U winners. So Catholic Vitamin V ends in E, 9 letters.
All right. What is it that is useful to your faith walk? Maybe joining up with a group of other women in a program like Women of Grace, maybe forming a faith travelers group like we have done in our parish, maybe forming a prayer group like we do in our home, or as Dee and I have done for probably 8 or 10 years, we have every first Thursday we have rosary in the home. We open up our home to anybody that comes, and we've had anything from 4 people to 14 people who come on first Thursday, and we do the rosary mm-hmm. together, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and then we chat over chocolate.
Always have to have chocolate.
There you go.
Did you give our email address?
I didn't. CatholicVitamins@gmail.com. CatholicVitamins@gmail.com.
If you take a guess at the vitamin V, just send us an email.
All right. And don't hesitate to just send an email and tell us how you're doing. We'd love to hear about that. Or if you have any prayer requests.
Definitely.
All right. Dear, thank you.
See you next time.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
We pray for blessings. We pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all lesser things, 'cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness. We doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. Nights What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? What if trials of this life, the rain, the storm, the hardest nights, are your mercies?